I'll have you stand if you are able for the reading of God's word. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 49. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran, took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." This is the word of the Lord. You may take your seats. Let me quickly pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to this saying of Jesus, open our eyes to see that he was forsaken so we never would be. And when we trust in him, that we gain your eternal delight, we gain your love because he was rejected. And so now, by your Spirit, would you speak to our hearts, comforting, calming, and giving us your peace. And we ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed how our deepest longings are tied to our greatest fears? What we want the most is what we most fear not getting. Well, these words of Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" reveals both our greatest longing and our greatest fear. See, every single person in this room longs for something and fears not getting it. And there are many different answers that people throughout history has given as to why this is the case. But if you listen to each generation express this longing, there's a common theme. Madonna in the 1980s was interviewed by Vanity Fair magazine. She said this, "I have an iron will, and all of my will has always been to conquer some horrible feeling of inadequacy. I'm always struggling with that fear. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being. And then I get to another stage and I think I'm mediocre and uninteresting. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being mediocre. And that's always pushing me. Because even though I become somebody, I still have to prove that I'm somebody. My struggle has never ended. And it probably never will." And I think this explains why she would always change her image year after year. Or Tom Brady in 2005 did a 60-minute interview after winning his third Super Bowl. He says this, "Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. But me, I think, gosh, it's got to be more than this. I mean, this isn't. This can't be what it's all cracked up to be." The Christian explanation would go something like this. C.S. Lewis says, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." Or Augustine, famous early church father, said, "Our souls are restless until it finds its rest in thee." Or Blaise Pascal describes it this way, "There's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every human, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus." Every single one of us in this room has an insatiable longing that must be filled. This longing is so great that we will do anything to satisfy it, and I mean anything. The problem with this longing, however, is that it's insatiable. It is a bottomless desire. Think of hunger. This morning you ate breakfast and got filled, but now later in the day you will need more food. There is a longing that all of us have that can be filled but never full. We can get some of it, but we still need more of it. I would say it this way: this hole, this insatiable longing, is the longing that all of us have to be validated, the longing that all of us have to be affirmed, to be loved, to be justified. We all long to know that we're special. We all long to know that we're valuable. We all long to know that we're somebody. But ever since Genesis 3, every human being has turned away from God to find it. So every human being is on a quest to validate and justify their existence. See, we long to know that we're okay with God and that God is okay with us. We long to know that God accepts us, that He eternally delights and smiles upon us, that He loves us with a never-changing, never-ending love. So if that is our greatest longing, then what is our greatest fear? Not having God's acceptance, not having God's delight, not having His approval, not having His love. We all fear being rejected by God. We all fear not having His delight. We fear experiencing His displeasure. We fear being under God's condemnation and frown. Matthew tells us, while Jesus was hanging on the cross during the brightest time of the day, from noon to 3, darkness covered the land. This is not a solar eclipse. This is God bringing His judgment for sin. This is God's 9th plague being poured out. But this time it is not poured out on Egypt. It is poured out on His own Son. And don't miss this. This darkness did not just cover Jerusalem. The word used here is earth. This darkness covered the whole earth. This is the darkest 3 hours in human history. For this is the darkness of God's infinite rejection poured out on one man. This is infinite darkness of God forsaking His Son, turning His back away from His own Son. This is the darkness of infinite wrath being poured out on our substitute, the Lamb of God. You see, up until this point, like a lamb that was led to slaughter, Jesus remains silent. But in verse 46, Jesus does not cry out, "My head, my head, my hands, my feet, my feet." He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is the infinite darkness of Jesus being judged in our place, of Jesus experiencing the rejection, the condemnation, and the alienation from His Father. Jesus is experiencing all of God's wrath for all of our sin. And this is an agony and anguish that is far greater than any of the physical or emotional distress He has experienced so far. What made Jesus cry out in agony and anguish was because at this moment, Jesus is experiencing our greatest fear. God turning His back on His own Son to pay for our sin's penalty. And while He is experiencing it, He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's not crying out to Elijah to come and rescue him. He's crying out because God has forsaken him. God's ninth plague is here, and the tenth plague is coming very soon, the death of God's firstborn son. Can you imagine the deafening silence of this cry? The one who has enjoyed his father's eternal delight is now experiencing his father's eternal displeasure. The one who for all of eternity has been the object of his father's love has now become the object of his father's wrath. And can you imagine the pain of the father watching his son suffer? Can you imagine how much it pained the father to remain silent and forsake the only one who was pleasing to him? Why did the father send his son to do this? And why did the son willingly obey his father's will, knowing it would mean he would experience his displeasure and his condemnation? Answer, to get you and me. Jesus was cast out so those who trust in him could be brought in. Jesus was forsaken so that we could be embraced. Jesus experienced our greatest fear so God could fill our greatest longing. Jesus was forsaken so we would never know what that's like. This Easter season, may we not just see and reflect on what it cost God. May we see and reflect upon what we gain. We gain God's eternal delight. We gain God's acceptance. We gain God's infinite, never-ending, never-changing love. Christian, your quest to enter God's Sabbath rest, it ends in Jesus. Jesus worked so we could enter God's Sabbath rest and have God's eternal delight. Amen. Let me pray. Father, as we think about the one who received all of our punishment for all of our sin, when we think about Jesus experiencing our greatest fear so that we would never know what that is like, would you open our eyes not just to the cost, but open our eyes to what we gain? We gain your eternal delight, acceptance, and love. So now help us to live in light of that reality, because knowing that changes everything. But we need your Spirit to convince us of this truth. And I ask that you would be pleased to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.